Let's turn this evening to Psalm 119. Psalm 119, we will read three sections, beginning with verse 65 and reading through verse 88. Thou hast dealt well with thy servant, O Lord, according unto thy word. Teach me good judgment and knowledge, for I have believed thy commandments. Before I was afflicted, I went astray, but now have I kept thy word. Thou art good and doest good. Teach me thy statutes. The proud have forged a lie against me, but I will keep thy precepts with my whole heart. Their heart is as fat as grease, but I delight in thy law. It is good for me that I have been afflicted, that I might learn thy statutes. The law of thy mouth is better unto me than thousands of gold and silver. Thy hands have made me and fashioned me. Give me understanding that I may learn thy commandments. They that fear thee will be glad when they see me, because I have hoped in thy word. I know, O Lord, that thy judgments are right, and that thou, in faithfulness, hast afflicted me. Let, I pray thee, thy merciful kindness be for my comfort, according to thy word unto thy servant. Let thy tender mercies come unto me, that I may live, for thy law is my delight. Let the proud be ashamed, for they dealt perversely with me without a cause, but I will meditate in thy precepts. Let those that fear thee turn unto me, and those that have known thy testimonies. Let my heart be sound in thy statutes, that I be not ashamed. My soul fainteth for thy salvation, but I hope in thy word. Mine eyes fail for thy word, saying, when wilt thou comfort me? For I am become like a bottle in the smoke, yet do I not forget thy statutes. How many are the days of thy servant? When wilt thou execute judgment on them that persecute me? The proud have digged pits for me, which are not after thy law. All thy commandments are faithful. They persecute me wrongfully. Help thou me. They had almost consumed me upon earth, but I forsook not thy precepts. Quicken me after thy loving kindness, so shall I keep the testimony of thy mouth. Thus far we read the divinely inspired sacred scripture this evening. May God bless the reading of his word to our hearts. The text for the sermon tonight is verse 83. For I am become like a bottle in the smoke, yet do I not forget thy statutes. Beloved congregation of our Lord Jesus Christ, how remarkable is the fact that the inner spiritual soul life of the regenerated, spirit-filled believer is indestructible, inextinguishable. When you consider all of the griefs and the sorrows and deprivations and sufferings that the saints endure, and when you consider the constant assaults of the devil as he uses manifold temptations to try to destroy the believer's faith, to try to get the believer to deny the truth and the goodness of God, When you consider the constant pressure that is applied upon the soul when the cost of confessing the name and the truth of Jesus Christ is high, is perhaps one's reputation and name or possessions or even one's own life. When you consider all of the hardships of this life and the pressures that are applied to the soul, it would seem that the destruction of one's soul is certain. How could one stand in this wicked world? And yet all throughout history, God safely holds our soul in life and steadfast makes our way. By the power of the Holy Spirit within, the inner spiritual soul life of the believer is inextinguishable. It cannot be destroyed. And yet, the illustration of the text before us tonight illustrates that sometimes the believer's inner spiritual soul life is so greatly weakened that it is nearly extinguished, so that the believer says, "I am become like a bottle in the smoke." When a child of God says, "I am like a bottle in the smoke," then you know that the inner life of his soul is almost gone. We find ourselves tonight in Psalm 119, section Kaf, which consists of verses 81 through 88. And here the psalmist is giving expression to the intense suffering of his soul, causing him to raise this concluding plea of verse 88, "Quicken me after thy loving kindness." I'm dying in my soul. Quicken me after thy loving kindness. That the psalmist suffering here in this section is so intense is indicated by the fact that he nearly lost his spiritual life. He did not lose his spiritual life, and that's very evident from the fact that he's raising prayers unto God. The bruised reed God will not break, and the smoking flax God will not quench. Faith can be weakened, and the life of faith can temporarily disappear, but the principle of faith can never be overcome and destroyed. The psalmist did not lose his inner spiritual life, but he almost did. He makes that very plain when he says, "I am become like a bottle in the smoke." So say some saints still today. If this is not your condition and your confession, then hallelujah, praise Jehovah. But then let us be sure that we add our prayers to those of the saints for whom this is their condition and this is their confession. Lord, that brother in the church, this sister in the church, he, she is like a bottle in the smoke. Quicken him, quicken her according to thy loving kindness. Like a bottle in the smoke. Let's take that as the theme of our sermon tonight and let's consider three things. First, the suffering soul. Second, the faithful remembrance, and third, the personal confession. When the psalmist describes his suffering soul by referring to the figure of a bottle in the smoke, he is employing a figure that was very well known to the Israelites and really to any of the Eastern nomadic people of millennia ago. We don't know what a bottle in the smoke is all about. As we begin to state the opening part of the text in the introduction to the sermon, the question we are all asking is, well, what is a bottle in the smoke? We don't know. When I say bottle, then you think things like maybe a glass wine bottle or a glass amber-colored beer bottle or a cheap plastic disposable water bottle or a plastic milk bottle for babies. But when the psalmist said bottle, the Israelite thought of a goat skin. If the Israelite wanted a bottle, he didn't go to a store to purchase one. He went out into his field, and because goats have stronger skin than sheep, he took one of his goats. If he wanted a bigger bottle, he took a bigger goat. If he wanted a smaller bottle, he took one of the kids, one of the younger goats. And he would kill the goat. After killing the goat, he would cut off its head, all four legs, and its tail. Then very careful not to harm in any way the body of the goat, having removed the head, he would reach into the goat and carefully clean out all of the insides. Really, he would remove the guts from the goat. And having done that, then he would sew up five holes, the four holes where the legs were and the one hole where the tail was. Maybe he would shave the hair off the outside of the goat, maybe not. Now he has a goat skin with one hole, the big hole where the head was, and he might sew some string around the perimeter of that hole so that he could draw it close. But that goat skin is his bottle, and he can pour wine or he can pour water into that goat skin. Basically, it was a leather bag. And you can imagine now if a man was going on, let's say, a half a day journey, and he wants to take a few gallons of water, it would be very difficult to do in a heavy clay pot as he's riding on his donkey. But he can easily carry water in a leather bag. A goat skin, a bottle. The Israelites would have had a few of these bottles hanging up in or along the outside of their house. And it was very common to have a little fire in the house or maybe right outside the house for cooking purposes. And because the Israelites did not have fireplaces and chimneys and modern conventional ventilation systems, when they put a little fire in the home to cook a meal, there would be a cloud of smoke in the home or right outside the home. And it was good if the bottle was exposed, the bottle's hanging there, if it was exposed to a little bit of smoke because it could tan the leather and make it stronger. But if the smoke lingered, a dense, thick cloud of smoke hanging there, and that bottle was hanging in the smoke for a long time, then it would become blackened and parched and dried out and cracked and ruined. It wouldn't be able to hold the liquid anymore. The bottle was never put into the fire. That would burn up and destroy the bottle. But sometimes the bottle was hanging too long in the smoke, and the smoke would damage the bottle, would ruin it. Now the psalmist uses that figure to describe his suffering soul when he says, I am become like a bottle in the smoke. He is like a bottle. The psalmist is saying that his soul, his inner spiritual life in his soul is like a bottle. He begins in verse 81, my soul fainteth for thy salvation. Verse 82, my eyes fail for thy word. And there he's not speaking of his physical eyes, but the spiritual eyes of the soul, the eyes of faith. So then he says in verse 83, for I am become like a bottle in the smoke. And he's not talking about his physical fleshly body as if his arm is becoming chapped. But he's talking about his soul. God gave him a soul, and God graciously gave to him faith. And so within his soul, he had all of the movements and the moisture and the energy of faith within his soul, so that his soul was moist and strong. Inside, he had confidence in God and hope in God and pleasure in God and comfort in God and peace in God. He loves his life. He abounds in his work. His confessions are lively. His prayers soar effortlessly into the heights of heaven. He rejoices in God. He delights in his fellow Israelites in the land. In his mind, his mental state is so strong. As he thinks on those things that are true and honest and just and pure and lovely and of a good report, when all is well, then he is in his soul like a bottle, a strong, moist, leather, goatskin bottle. The smoke is suffering. And here, the suffering is persecution. Verse 84, how many are the days of thy servant? When wilt thou execute judgment on them that persecute me? 85, the proud have digged pits for me. 86, they persecute me wrongfully. Help thou me. 87, they had almost consumed me upon earth. The psalmist had done nothing wrong. He had injured no man, but because of his faithfulness to Jehovah God, he had enemies who hated him, who harassed him, who tried to trap him in his words. And they did that day after day. The persecution was relentless. So that he says in verse 84, how many are the days of thy servant? When wilt thou execute judgment on them that persecute me? The section begins, 81, my soul fainteth for thy salvation. He's becoming weaker and weaker in this persecution. 82, my eyes fail for thy word. He's not experiencing that joy and that comfort and that peace and hope and confidence in God in this relentless persecution, which was like a thick, dense cloud of smoke. The psalmist wasn't put in the fire so that his soul was burned up and his faith was destroyed, but he had been hanging, as it were, his soul was hanging in that thick, dense cloud of persecution for so many days that it was beginning to dry up all of the moisture of his soul. Formerly, he was strong and moist with a vibrant inner spiritual life, but now he says, I am become like a bottle in the smoke. When wilt thou comfort me? Every believer is like a bottle. If you have a soul, and you do, you're a human being, you have a soul. And if you have faith, and God be praised, if you have faith as a child of God, then you are a strong, moist bottle. But when suffering comes and it doesn't go away, when suffering comes and it lingers in the air like a thick cloud of smoke, then sometimes some of God's children say, I am like a bottle in the smoke. When persecution comes, when it first comes, it makes us stronger. It is the occasion for us to flee unto God and find refuge in the living God. But it may happen that when persecution comes and it lingers, when the young woman of the church goes to work, and let's say she has a very enjoyable clerical position in an office building downtown, and when she goes to work every single day, her coworkers, female coworkers, they poke at her. And they whisper about her. And they sneer at her day after day. She will not dress provocatively as they dress. And she doesn't join them in their parties on the weekend. And when they sit down for lunch, she doesn't talk about how much she drank or the sexual escapades in which she was engaged the past weekend. She doesn't join them in that talk. In fact, she goes to church. She keeps the Sabbath holy. She has a boyfriend. He's come there before. They know who he is. And in their relationship of chastity, they have boundaries. She's asked them more than once, kindly and respectfully, if they could please stop profaning the Lord's name. She's gone to management to try to find a solution to this problem. They continually harass her day after day. So she begins to dislike the job that she formerly loved. She doesn't like to be at work. She's miserable. And when she goes home, she's miserable because she knows tomorrow she has to go back into that toxic environment. No one in the congregation knows it, but when she's sitting in church on Sunday, she's agitated and she's restless because she's looking up against a whole nother week of constant persecution of her for her faith. And she comes to the point where it's time to resign and time to quit because the moisture of her soul is being dried up. She is beginning to lose something of her spiritual life unto God. She says, I am become like a bottle in the smoke. Some believers experience tremendous pain, unbearable discomfort because of disease, injury, illness. And it may happen that when great bodily pain comes, nagging pain, chronic pain, at first it becomes an occasion for strength, bringing one closer and closer to God, but it can also happen that as that pain lingers for a long time and one tries to function normal functions as a normal human being with unrelenting discomfort and pain, that it begins to wear on one, and pretty soon one is writhing in pain in the bed and the goal of the day is simply to get through another day. And there, lying in bed, there are no joyful confessions and there are no prayers that go soaring into the heights of heaven. There's no eagerness for tomorrow. There's no joyful communication with other people, but there's abject misery continually in the bed of suffering. And that moisture in the soul begins to dry up and one says, mine eyes fail for thy word, saying, when wilt thou comfort me? Lovest thou not me any longer, O God? Dost thou not hear my prayers for help? I am become like a bottle in the smoke. Some believers experience profound sorrow of soul. For some, there is the lingering grief that is caused by the loss of a loved one, and that's not only the initial shock of the absolute finality of death. Even when a loved one is growing weaker and weaker and dying, and we know death is coming, there's still really no way to prepare for the absolute finality of death. But then especially when an unexpected tragedy suddenly comes and even comes to a younger loved one, there is that initial shock. It literally takes your breath away when you hear the news of the tragedy. That grief, that profound grief, that. But then the lingering emptiness of soul that one experiences no longer having that loved one, and that pain and grief can linger for a long, long time. Others have great sorrow in their soul. Maybe no one knows about it. There may be past horrors causing sorrow today, all kinds of adversities and losses, sinking into depression and lower into depression, having a family member who goes astray, denies the living God, and then even worse, turns on his parents or her parents or the family, turns on the church and starts slandering the church, the family, the name of Jesus. One who gets married and years later in the marriage, they find themselves in a situation where their spouse walks away from the marriage and from the living God. And there hangs that thick, dense, even black cloud of smoke, suffering that just lingers. And the believer laments, my soul was not always a suffering soul. But now it's hard to find pleasure in anything, in eating, in drinking, in laughing, in fellowshipping with God's people. Sometimes I don't even come to church functions. I start withdrawing from the people of God. Moisture of my soul is departing. My eyes are failing. I am become like a bottle in the smoke. When wilt thou comfort me? People of God, the bruised reed God will never break. And the smoking flax our God will never quench. And that dried out goatskin bottle of the soul, our God will never allow it to become so blackened and so cracked and dried out that all of the moisture disappears and the faith is destroyed. And the psalmist acknowledges that to be the case for him personally when he says in the second half of the text, yet do I not forget thy statutes. Though almost all the moisture of his soul, the moisture of faith, was dried up, to change the figure just a little bit and imagine a bottle full of liquid, though almost all the liquid of the soul, the confidence in God and the hope in God and the pleasure in God and the comfort in God and the peace in God, though almost all of it is dried out, there's always just a little bit of moisture left. It's not much. But there's always just a little bit left. And the psalmist refers to that as the faithful remembrance of God's statutes. Yet, I am become like a bottle in the smoke. Yet, do I not forget thy statutes. Deliberately, the psalmist puts it into the negative. He doesn't formulate it positively, as we have done in the second point of the sermon, and say, yet I remember thy statutes. He puts it in the negative and he says, yet do I not forget thy statutes, because it looked like he had forgotten. It seemed as if he had forgotten. The devil was determined to get him to forget. But no, he did not forget God's statutes. God always preserves in the most grievously tormented, afflicted, persecuted, grieving, sorrowful believer, a faithful remembrance of his statutes. Statute. Statutes is, in the text, one of the synonyms for the Word of God in Psalm 119. Psalm 119, the longest chapter in the whole Bible, is the great Old Testament celebration of the Word of God, the content of the Word of God, the characteristics of God's Word, the blessedness of living in God's Word. Psalm 119 extols God's Word. That is, the revelation that God gave to His people Israel through Moses. The Book of the Covenant. We know it today as the first five books of the Bible. Genesis, Exodus, Leviticus, Numbers, Deuteronomy. That was the Scripture. That was the Word of God in the day of the psalmist. And in Psalm 119, almost every single verse in this long psalm includes thy word. Verse 81, but I hope in thy word. Verse 82, mine eyes fail for thy word. Or one of the synonyms for the word of God, namely, commandment, judgment, law, precept, testimony, way, or here, statute. Statute refers to something due, something that is owed. It refers to the decree that is issued by a sovereign, by a king, when he makes known his law, his decree, and what all of the subjects of his realm owe him, what is due him. And the word statute emphasizes the binding authority and the permanence of this decree. Now, if a mother says, son, before you sit down for breakfast this morning, I would like you to go out and feed all of the family goats. That's not a statute. That's her word, that's her commandment, and the son must obey. But when over there on the hill where the palace is and where the king lives, a decree is issued by the sovereign, and it's even written down on the royal tablet and sealed, I hereby decree that all of the boys of my kingdom, before they sit down for breakfast in the morning, they must feed the family goats. That is a statute. When the psalmist refers to the statutes, he's referring to the Word of God. The Word of God from the point of view of its binding authority and its permanence in the commands. The statutes of God are those 10 words that God wrote down on tables of stone to indicate their binding authority and their permanence. Statutes, fundamentally and principally, there's one great statute issued by the king for all those who are within his realm. Have no other gods before me. That's the negative. The positive formulation, have me. That's his statute. Have me as your God, the God who created you and the God who redeemed you and brought you into my covenant. Have me. Love me, serve me, adore me, worship me, reverence me, devote yourself unto me, believe in me, confess me, I am Jehovah God. Deuteronomy 6 begins with verse 1. Now these are the commandments, the statutes, the judgments which the Lord your God commanded to teach you, that ye might do them in the land whither ye go to possess it. And then later on in verse 7, Deuteronomy 6, verses 7 and following, Moses says, and thou shalt teach them diligently unto thy children, and thou shalt talk of them when thou sittest in thine house, and when thou walkest by the way, and when thou liest down, and when thou risest up, and thou shalt bind them for a sign upon thy hand, and they shall be as frontlets between thine eyes, and thou shalt write them upon the posts of thy house and upon thy gates. Statutes. And what is the principle, the fundamental, the chief of all of the statutes? The only one explicitly mentioned there in that section of Deuteronomy chapter 6, verses 4 and 5, where Moses declared, hear, O Israel, the Lord our God is one Lord, and thou shalt love the Lord thy God with all thy heart, with all thy soul, and with all thy might. That is the statute. And all of the other statutes, with their binding authority and their permanence, they hang from that principal statute. Have God, love God with all your heart. Now the psalmist says, yet do I not forget thy statutes. And he doesn't simply mean that somewhere in the back of his memory he has maintained the bare words, but he loves God's statutes. That he does not forget them is because he loves God's statutes. So when he says, my soul is overwhelmed by all of this persecution, as men persecute me without a cause, when my soul fainteth for thy salvation, and when my eyes fail for thy word, when I say, when wilt thou comfort me? When I am like a bottle in the smoke, all dried out spiritually and feeling worthless and full of misery and suffering within, there's always a little bit of moisture left within me. There's always one little evidence of God's grace left in my soul. No matter how low I get, there's always something left. That is, when the beleaguered believer says, when I am like a bottle in the smoke, when I am in the depths of sorrow, even depressed, when I am inconsolable day and night because of grief, when I am full of pain, literally crawling through my house and only able to do it because I am on morphine, my pain is so great, when I am overwhelmed with anguish because of the adversities of my life, when I cannot sit down and open up God's word and read, and when I cannot even formulate a prayer unto God, when I cannot find any excitement to be with God's people and I withdraw myself from the fellowship of the church, when my moisture is turned into the drought of summer and I don't even feel like a child of God anymore, there is always a little bit of moisture left, a little bit of movement left in the soul. I do not forget thy statutes. I don't keep them as I should. Nothing grieves me more than that I do not do them as I should. The good that I would, I do not, O wretched man that I am. But I still love them. I do not forget thy statutes, O God. And so I, as an Israelite believer, if some man should come unto me with the two tables of stone on which are written the statutes of God, and come unto me in my lowest estate and give me a sledgehammer and say, God, the God whose statutes these are in this stone, the God who has forsaken you and who no longer loves you and who is against you, curse him and crush these stones. If I am a believer writhing in bed up in the hospital, and of all people, in through the doorway walks a Muslim chaplain and asks, may I sit down beside your bed and read to you from the Quran and offer on your behalf a prayer to Allah? If a Roman Catholic priest walks into the hospital room and says, I have the Holy Bible, may I please read to you from the Bible and offer on your behalf a prayer to God in the name of the co-mediatrix, the tender-hearted Blessed Mother Mary. if the fellow on the other side of the curtain who's writhing in his pain and who's been cursing God all night asks me to join him in cursing God? If I'm in the dust, oh, wretched man that I am, rolling in the dust, covered from head to toe in boils, in abject misery, and my own wife stoops down and she says, "Why don't you curse God and die?" If I am like a bottle in the smoke, so that I cannot even formulate a prayer or lift a word of praise to God, but I hear any blasphemy against my God, and I'm asked to participate in cursing the name of my God, no matter how low I am in my spiritual estate, I react with a holy horror because I do not forget thy statutes. All thy statutes, plural. Keep the Sabbath day holy. I do not do it. I do not keep the Sabbath day holy as I should, and that grieves me, especially when I sometimes stay home from church on Sunday night because I'm overwhelmed with grief and I don't even want to be with God's people, and yet the whole time church is going on, I have a guilty conscience. I know I should be in church. I don't do the fourth statute as I should do it, but I do not forget it. I love that statute of God, and in my lowest suffering, if my own children and some of their generation or my grandchildren begin to make an effort to try to abolish the Sabbath and the public worship of God's name on the Sabbath, I would be full of distraught and agony. I do not forget thy statutes. I don't want to go murder my persecutor. I don't want to steal from my neighbor. I don't want to speak evil against my God. I may be like a bottle in the smoke, yet do I not forget thy statutes. That's amazing. And you know, those statutes written on stone were external. Those statutes written on the doorposts and between the eyes, those statutes were external. And God has promised that in the new covenant, through the Holy Spirit, He will come. And upon the soft, fleshy table of the regenerated heart, God will write His statutes in our heart. And He has done that. And the devil can never erase what God has written within us, no matter how low we get spiritually, so that we cannot even lift a song of praise to God. Yet do I not forget thy statutes. The psalmist and every suffering believer faithfully remembers God's statutes. But that is because of something deeper, something stronger. And here we come to the heart of the gospel of grace. God, Jehovah God, faithfully remembers us. God made a promise. And that promise is like a statute to God. He binds himself to his promise forever, his promise to save us and to preserve us everlastingly in his covenant, safely holding our soul and life. God made a promise in the name of the Messiah, Jesus Christ, to see the faithful remembrance of God who always remembers his people in the covenant. You must go to Calvary and listen. Behold and see if there be any smoke like my smoke. If there be any soul, any blackened, oh, so blackened. If there be any parched, oh, so parched soul like my soul. Did not our blessed Lord cry from the cross, I am become like a bottle in the smoke, when he cried, I thirst. His moisture was drying up in the darkness of Calvary. He was not singing gleefully and lifting lofty, long prayers unto God and abounding in the work of preaching and healing. His soul was being dried up, the spiritual energies within, in that lingering smoke of God's wrath. For forth from the nostrils of the King, the sovereign God of heaven, was breathed all of the smoke of the wrath and the fury of God for our sins. And that smoke and fury came upon the Messiah as the sin bearer who was made guilty for our sins. And there being punished on the cross, and especially during those 3 hours was when Jesus was hanging there engulfed in darkness, he was like an animal skin bottle parched in the smoke that was lingering at Calvary. But in the midst of it all, he never forgot God's statutes. He perfectly did all of God's statutes. And he remembered, that is, he loved all of God's statutes, including that chief statute, love me. Love me as God. And prove your love for me now by pouring out your soul as an offering for sin, for the redemption of all of my people, that they may live with me forever in my covenant. Jesus loved that statute. And even when he descended down into the thick, dark smoke and deeper into the fire itself, into death itself, he did not forget God's statute. At Calvary, the bottle was burned. And in the burning of that precious bottle, all of our sins were cleansed, were blotted out, and righteousness and life were obtained for us. For Jesus' sake, God will never put us in the fire. That is, our soul, our faith will never be destroyed. And in the worst of our suffering, he faithfully remembers us. Our soul faints for his salvation. Jehovah will bring salvation. Our eyes long for the comfort of his word. Jehovah will bring the comfort. Our soul cries, quicken me after thy loving kindness. Jehovah will quicken us. Our soul does not forget his statutes, but there's something deeper, something stronger, a reason for that. Jehovah God does not forget us for Jesus' sake. Is the personal confession of the psalmist yours today? I am become like a bottle in the smoke. If that is not your confession tonight, if the condition of the psalmist is not your condition presently, then give God thanks and praise him. But if it is, you are not alone tonight. If this text is describing you, you are not alone tonight. Others feel this way, including the psalmist. Who was the psalmist? The psalmist may have been David, a king, an office bearer, the leader of Israel. Sometimes the one who says, "I am like a bottle in the smoke," is a pastor, an elder, a deacon, the father or the mother as a leader of the home. Likely the psalmist was a young man. He says in verse 9, "Wherewithal shall a young man cleanse his way?" Young men are the picture of strength. But Isaiah 40, verse 30 says, "Even the youth shall faint and be weary, and the young men shall utterly fall." Some young men in the church are not inside what they appear to be outside, for inside their spiritual life is dwindling. And they are like a bottle in the smoke. Are you? The psalmist was. Don't be ashamed to confess it. Say it. Say it to God. "Oh God, I am become like a bottle in the smoke." Say it to an office bearer, to a family member, to a friend. "I can't go on any longer. I am become like a bottle in the smoke." Say it. The psalmist did. He said it. The psalmist wasn't always this way, because he says, "I am become like a bottle in the smoke." And the psalmist wasn't this way forever, because God quickened him. God brought back the movements within. But for a time, for a season, he was, and he said it. That's not a complaint. Sometimes we don't dare say it because we don't want to complain. It's a fact. Say it if it's true. "I am become like a bottle in the smoke." But say this also: "Yet do I not forget God's statutes, and I do not forget God's promise that he will remember me." God will quicken you again. He will. He will. God will quicken you. That bottle, that goatskin bottle, when it's parched and blackened and dried out, who will trust putting wine or water back into that bottle? It's been ruined. But when we are parched and dried out, we are still of value to God, because he has made us a vessel of praise. And once you are a vessel of praise, you are always a vessel of praise. And even though praise may not be coming out of your soul presently, you are still a vessel of praise. God created you for his praise. You are his bottle. He will quicken you. According to his loving kindness, so that you can lift again joyful songs of praise to him and go forth in his service in the church. He remembers. Be assured of that. For Jesus' sake, God remembers you. Amen. Let us pray. Father in heaven, we confess before thee tonight how weak and frail and sinful we are, and we simply marvel, we stand in awe as we look up and see thee, the everlasting God, the infinitely blessed, great I am that I am, Thou art so great and majestic and glorious in thy eternal, perfect, blessed being. May all of the praise and all of the glory go unto thee. And we do earnestly pray that for Jesus' sake, thou wilt be mindful of our human frailty, O God, in whom we trust. Thy years are everlasting. Remember us, we who are but dust. For Jesus' sake, in his name do we pray. Amen.